Well, I'm glad the power came on for everyone. So we're able to connect here today. I will wait just another 10 seconds and then I'll call the meeting to order. Okay, it's officially 12:02. Welcome everyone. Thank you for being here today. It's nice to see everyone. I want to go ahead and call the meeting to order 12:02, and I will let Marcy go ahead with the roll call.
Hello. Okay. Brian Arnold.
I am here.
Michael Boggs.
Present.
Marcus Brooks.
Present.
Frank Cantone. Sean Chang. Carl Cornell.
Present.
Erica Crawley. Rebecca Dillon. Bethany Dixon, Jamie Doss.
Amy's just entering.
Okay. Thomas Hanbury,
Here.
Don Henshaw,
I'm here.
Kyle Cornuda,
Here. I'm here. Oh.
Ellie Crum,
Here.
Jeremy Cruiser. Sophie Lanchez,
Here.
Christine Mahoney, Ann Morse,
Present.
Kevin Phipps, Stephanie Rizzou,
Present.
Yvonne Solis Cruz,
Present.
Bill Soroka, Pete Supron.
I'm here.
Deb Surine. Wendy Tree.
Present.
Janice here. And Danielle Wearson.
Here.
Great.
Did you get Christy?
Christy.
I'm here. Sorry.
I know. We're all trying to get back on quickly. Okay. Thank you. I'll keep an eye out for stragglers too.
Also, Marcy, Don mentioned in chat that he has to do some work and will not be coming back on. So that changes our quorum.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Now I will go ahead and read our land acknowledgement. So Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, which is an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Now I'd like to call for late additions to the agenda. I would like to add a late addition, just some general updates, and I would like to add those after the committee reports. Okay. And now I don't think we have the minutes to the past two meetings. Is that correct, Jessica?
That is correct. I don't think PJ finished them before spring break.
I understand. It's a busy time of year. So that's okay. We'll just go ahead and move past that and approve them when they're back in the office. And so now I'd like to move down to item four, the April 17th organizational meeting reminder. I know I've mentioned this before. I just want to go ahead and say it again. Please, please, please make sure that you allot time even past 1:15. We're going to try our best to wrap up everything by 1 o'clock. But as these things go, we might need a little bit more time. So this is one of the more important meetings that we have. So this is when we discuss all of our, we make the the votes for positions, and it's very important that everyone attends. So just wanted to put that out there. Is anyone, Wendy, do you have anything you'd like to add? Anyone else?
No, just I would definitely second your expression of urgency to attend that meeting and plan on being, like you said, we're going to try and get things wrapped up by 1:15, but it might be 1:30-ish. What it'll be is our regular scheduled meeting should be a shortish one, and then we'll go into executive session. So it'll just be EA members that's not open to the public. And that's when, like you said, we do our appointments for the 2024-2025 session.
Great. Thank you. So, okay. So April 17th, if you don't have it on your calendar, please, it should be there, but just make a note that this one is very important. Okay. Well, now that I've drilled that in, we'll move down to item number 5. We were wondering if the executive committee, last year we had an in-person gathering, and we were thinking about doing the same thing this year, and just want to get some input and feedback and, see what people are thinking about hosting, just, you know, something casual. If does anyone have any thoughts? I see Carl thumbs up. Well, okay, Kate.
Yeah, I have a question. We did this last year and we pushed it, I think, into June because May was such a crazy busy month. We also were trying to be mindful of people's ability to get to an event, and we did not have it on campus. We had it at the southern location, the original location of the Ithaca Beer Garden, and it was really quite nice, but I'll say like 5 people came, maybe. Wendy and I were there. I mean, it was really, really sparsely attended. So, you know, that's fine. But I'd like, if we're doing it, it would be really nice to do it in such a way that more people felt able to participate. We could do something at the lounge at the Statler, if that worked. We could do something in College Town. I'm totally flexible and open on where and when we do it. I am going to be gone for a little bit in May, and sort of mid-May for graduation. But I welcome people's thoughts and ideas on timing. And we did it, you know, sort of evening. We did like 5 to 4:30 to 6:30. I can't remember. But day, time of day, and location that would make this work better for people.
Okay. Marcy.
Yeah, so we could also do it. We could do it during a lunchtime. It doesn't even have to be at the end of the day. It could be, and it could be either on campus or close to campus. Someone mentioned, I got some feedback that they weren't able to get to the location just because of transportation. So, yeah, any open to anything, you know, whatever you think might or not, whatever people want to do.
Thank you, Wendy.
I'm just going to second all that. I was at the event last summer, which was, it was nice. It was at the beer company or whatever. But yeah, the turnout wasn't that great. We do have places here on campus that are out. I mean, if we want to do something outdoors, Cornell Botanic, there's an awesome pavilion there that we could meet at, you know, just get some snacks or something and do that, I would think would be cool.
Marcy?
Sorry, and just to say, this is also, we have extra funds, so this would be using our EA funds to, so it's not, you know, out of our pocket, but it is, you know, a great way to also celebrate, welcome new members, to say goodbye to the departing members, and just end the year.
Yeah, that's great. I'm wondering
also, although our terms end, the fiscal year does not. So our funds are available for us to spend through June before it rolls back into the to the division budget.
I'm wondering if it might be easiest to, I know everyone, I just sent out that survey for the interim policy, but I'm wondering if a survey again, might be the easiest way to nail down a time. Why don't I go ahead?
And a location.
We
want it to be as accessible as possible, whether that means on campus or off campus. And certainly we were lucky, really lucky with the weather last year. We had looked at Liquid State last year, but there was something funny with their hours or their timing. We were doing it on a Tuesday and they weren't open, I think. But that does have a covered outdoor area as well. So that that could be an option that's not as far away, still has some, perhaps it's easier parking. I don't know.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Pipe down.
Thank you, Kate. And Yvonne.
I don't know if I missed this. If I did, I'm so sorry. Is this gathering intended to there be food available, drinks available? Because Liquid State doesn't typically have food. So I guess like thinking about different locations. Mm-hmm. Sorry, just thinking out loud. So that helped me to think on other locations as well.
I think they have the Silo food truck
there. Yeah, but it's not always available.
Yes. Well, that's true. And so, yes, and last year that was an issue. What we did last year was just rather than since it was such a small group, we just ordered food on a common bill. And then I submitted it to Jessica for reimbursement. So that's, and yes, we paid for food and drinks last year.
Okay. Some good things to consider. Okay. All right. Well, let me develop something, and I'll also have a space in case there are other ideas that you can, want to provide. And also, feel free to email me if you think of anything after the meeting. And okay, the Big Red Barn. I'll make a note of that too. Excellent. Okay, wonderful. Well, we'll get something rolling and see how this works out. And now I would like to discuss the survey results from the policy. I don't really have anything planned for this. I'm going to drop a link into chat so you can access the survey results via Box. Okay, so I'm just sending that to everyone, and I'll let everyone just take a minute to access that. And so really, this just kind of gauged where we are as a group. And as you can see, it widely varies, which is understandable, seeing how we all have different constituencies and different, thoughts on the policy. But what I intend to do with the results is to provide this to the University Assembly, who is tasked with handling this. And then when they convene the group of faculty, staff, students, and other stakeholders to finalize the policy, I will also make sure that these comments are provided to them. So, if anyone has any other thoughts, I welcome your to hear those. But that is my thought process on handling this feedback. So, if anyone like to say anything, please feel free to raise your hand. If not, you can always, I don't want to put anyone on the spot, so feel free to drop me an email too. Yvonne, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you. So one of the things that I personally did not include on this survey when it was shared, and thank you for collecting this feedback, is how I personally have seen the policy be used not in that content neutral approach that is being shared with us that is going to be. For example, there have been protests, right, in support of Palestine and ceasefire and the divestment of Cornell from certain companies. And the police has been very present. Other administrators have been very present at that particular at those particular protests. But then I was walking around campus and I saw people literally streaking and being painted, like their full body painted in green, making extremely like making things very loud, uncomfortable, and nothing happened. You know, like there's no addressing it at all. Even though the police was present, there was no addressing it. Similarly, the police has reached out to students and to staff who have participated in such protests, but they have not necessarily questioned or arrested faculty. And so, you know, like there's a discrepancy there on how this policy is already being implemented. And I guess that is all that I'll say for now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any other additional comments or feedback? Phil, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm just curious really on what we get to communicate from our side about the policy. I know we gathered the poll and everything. Is there any way that we're communicating this to other parties to potentially, hopefully have a say in it? Like, I'm not sure what the route is for us.
Yeah. So my understanding is that with the University Assembly and this new committee being formed, they will be able, they're processing the comments. So they can make these changes to the ultimate final policy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I have provided initial comments to senior leadership. So I'm trying to provide as much feedback as I can to the people who are making, you know, the decisions and working on the policy. So that's really what I've been doing. Does that answer your question, Phil?
It does. Yeah. I was mainly curious, like what our channels were. So that helps. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We'll go Brian and then Carl.
I just wanted to add my support to the first comments, with one correction. Back in November, there actually was one faculty member who was forced to take a leave for the remainder of the year. He didn't even finish the last semester for comments he made while off campus, like in his personal time. So I agree largely with those first comments. But I think in essence, it actually really adds to that idea that there's a lot of discrepancy in how the situation's being.
Okay. Thank you, Brian, for that additional feedback. And Carl, go right ahead.
Hi, I'm going to use Danielle's computer because my computer's having...
Oh, there you are. Go right ahead.
I was actually thinking for members of the EA who want to think about cross-assembly meetings or cross-assembly gatherings, that maybe it's wise for them to work as a group to ask maybe the faculty assembly or the student assembly if they would like to meet and have more of an open discussion about this. We are allowed to cross communicate between the assemblies. And if you think that that would be fruitful, I very much do advocate for you making those connections. I'm sure if we asked, Jana would be happy to give us who the connections would be to start facilitating that conversation. But I definitely recommend that be a place where we start if you're looking for that kind of cross-assembly gathering. And maybe we can meet in a separate place and decide on a meeting time and have a really productive conversation that way.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Carl, for that idea. Yeah, so if anyone, you know, is interested in that, just let me know. I can help make connections. So, okay. Well, if I don't see any other hands for comments or feedback. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. With that, we'll go ahead and move into committee reports. The first being the executive committee with Marcy.
Yep, so we were working on agendas, what's going on, plans for the rest of the year, just a couple more meetings left. And that's pretty much it, basically a plans for the last few meetings.
Great, thanks, Marcy. And now I'll go with the Communications Outreach and Recognition Committee. And Sophie, go right ahead.
Hi, everyone. So the Communications Committee is going to meet on April 15th. We're planning to release the EA Voice for April, either Tuesday, the 24th of April. Oh, wait, no, 23rd, sorry. April 23rd or April 24th. We also have in the subcommittee for awards, the award for staff and integrity and inclusion is open until April 15th. So I'm just going to put the link here. If you're interested or know or want to submit nominations, it's open. And oh, we need a EA member spotlight. So if you would like to be an EA member spotlight for April, please let us know. If not, I'm going to pick someone randomly. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, we, in the last EA communications meeting, we talked about purchasing t-shirts or new swag items for EA members. So once we know who the new EA members are, we'll know by April 17th. We can put in those orders for t-shirts and swag for EA members. I think that's it from me.
Excellent. Thank you, Sophie. And now I'll turn it over. Well, is Jeremy here? I don't think so.
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm hey, here. Jeremy. Sorry about yes. that. Sorry, I missed you. Go right ahead with the education.
That's okay. I'm on my phone because I have no internet currently. So I, and my notes are missing. So I'm going to do the best I can here for what I remember. So the Education Committee has had some rather robust conversations around the same topics of responsible social media habits and how do we educate ourselves and educate our constituencies about safe practices in social media use and how the free expression applies to at-will employees. As part of that, we've reached out to the executive committee to invite Cooper Swatska, the EOP director, to give a presentation on exactly that topic. And related, until we have better clarity, I would caution our staff to be thoughtful in the choices that they make. As at-will employees, there really is, as far as I know, no legal protections to for our jobs. So just be thoughtful and be cautious.
Excellent. Thanks, Jeremy. And yeah, we'll try to get Cooper to come do a presentation. That's a great idea, Jeremy. Thank you. And now I'll turn it over to Christy with the Welfare Committee.
Well, we have a meeting next week. We will be talking, there is a planned event. I don't know, Kate might be able to give us more information. It's a town gown discussion on childcare and how campus and the town are working together to address, I believe this is the subject, Kate, please correct me, address the shortage of childcare opportunities in our town. And then the following week, which will be the 24th, we are sponsoring transportation services to extend the conversation that we started earlier in the term around, specifically, this will not be so much on the transportation system side of things and TCAT and all of that, but it'll be more on the parking and the violation concerns and implications of student behavior on staff availability of parking. So Kate, did you want to add anything to the discussion?
Sure. It's a little more, I'd say more general. It's a regional conference, so we're not just looking at the issue in Ithaca. The opening session will be by the folks at the Buffalo CoLab who have just released their report, The Status of Childcare in New York State. And then we have academics talking about it from their perspective, community practitioners, like the head of the Child Development Council of Central New York, from her perspective, people who are doing workforce training, and folks from the HR side. So there is going to be a little bit of information that's specific to the new program between Cornell, or funded by Cornell through the Child Development Center. It's about childcare and why it's so hard. Hey was and I were in a different meeting, and I am not sure 100% that she's coming, but we put her on the list since this is an area of interest to her as a employee elected trustee. So we hope we'll have her there. And we have, something like 15 presenters and 70 folks coming from mostly central and western New York.
Great. Thank you very much. Bethany with the Benefits and Policy Committee.
Thank you. So I was actually not able to attend our most recent one, but Carl took great notes and I can go over those. So one of the things was a discussion about the updates to Concur. And I can share that. I think I can, Carl, can I share the link that you shared with the communications update? Maybe you're frozen again, sorry. Oh, okay, thanks, Daniel. So I'm going to put this in the chat. Thank you, Carl, beat me to it. Okay, so this is great news, because if you remember a while back, we were talking about trying to figure out if Concur could have a preferred name function that would link to Workday in similar ways. We weren't getting much traction on really hearing a concrete response, but then we found out from Jenna's detective work that Concur did have a preferred name function. So it looks like this will be an update that I think is coming out more centrally from Jamie Paris is the person who posted it. She's a communication strategist in the finance division. So we'll see what happens with that. But that is really good news. We talked about the adoption policy conversation. There was a discussion about the colleague network groups and how they could share critical information for the LGBTQ plus community, such as things like the Florida travel ban, anything that's really crucial, time sensitive, how that can be shared with members. And then Ashley Fazio shared some HR updates. She discussed updates to the flexibility policies. It seems like that could be scheduled to release as early as the end of April. I'm going to put in the flexible work core policies. Sorry, I'm winnowing down what to read off of these, but they all seem important. And then the other thing Ashley talked about was updates to policy 6.9, which is the time away from work policy, and just sort of what HR is doing through that process. They're still very much in the discovery process and the soliciting process of that. And lastly, parking was covered again with the question of if we should look at parking as being a benefit for on-campus employees. And Gordon, what is his last name? Barger? Came to the last BPC meeting that I was at, which was really great. So I'd be curious to see what he thinks from a policy standpoint of that. And that's all. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Bethany. And now I'll turn it over to Wendy for elections.
So election. All of our races were uncontested. So we will have 12 people either filling their seats again or joining us for the 2024-2025 session. I know it's amazing and it definitely thumbs up, Carl, considering we had 16 seats and we've got 10 or 12, sorry, I apologize. I do have an email, and maybe Jessica could just answer this right now. It does say on the calendar that we are going to announce the results on Tuesday, April 16th, and the new members will join us in the organizational, you know, our meeting on the 17th and for the organizational meeting. However, I'm not 100% sure if, since all the races were contested, we can go ahead and welcome them with open arms now. More to come on that. But yeah, elections went well. We're filling our seats, which is awesome. Just as a reminder as well, our terms do run through May 31st. So even at the organizational meeting, whomever is appointed or put into Jana's position or Marcia's position, Kate, Sophie, me, we still hold those roles until May 31st. And then the new people assume them, transition into them June 1st. So we'll still be the executive committee for those meetings in May, even though we've already decided who our individuals will be for June. Just as a heads up. And also, I did send everyone the executive committee roles and responsibilities, as well as the chair of the committees, of each of the committees, so that if you have any questions, if you want to review those documents in advance of our meeting in 2 weeks, so that you kind of have a sense of whether you want to nominate someone for one of those seats or those roles, or nominate yourself. I know that's not election stuff, but I go into parliamentarian mode sometimes as well. So anyway, sorry. Thank you. That's it.
No, that's great, Wendy. Thank you so much. And now I just have some very brief updates I want to share. So I will be providing an update to the Board of Trustees at their May 23rd meeting. So I'll be presenting on the EA what we've done this year. And so I just want to let the committee chairs know I'll be reaching out to you just for a few bullets that I can put into some slides. If anyone has anything else that they would... that is not a committee chair, please feel free to reach out to me if you'd like me to consider something to share with the Board of Trustees. And so that's May 23rd. So I'll probably be reaching out in the next couple of weeks to get something started. So I also want to share that the annual service of remembrance for all faculty, students, and staff, and anyone else within the Cornell community who has passed away this year between now or 2023 to 2024. They will be a service, a non-denominational service at Sage Hall. And this is April 25th. It's a Thursday from 3:30 to 4:15. There will be a candlelight vigil. So I just want to let you know that. And also they have asked if I would attend. Unfortunately, my schedule does not allow. So if you are available Thursday, April 25th between 3:30 and 4:15 to act on my behalf, I would really be so thankful. Just reach out to me either in the comments or after the meeting by email. My net ID is JV83. Again, I just want to remind about the April 17th meeting. That's the last time I'll do that today. And then the university assembly, I just want to let you know that the position has been filled by Allison Jo McCauley. She's not an actual EA rep, but she does participate in on some of our EA committees. So she will be participating for the rest of the year, which I believe is 3 meetings, and then we'll have to find someone else. But I just wanted to let you know, because I did mention it at our last meeting, and that is about it for those updates. And now with that, we'll head on into liaison reports. If anyone has anything they'd like to share from a liaison committee. The UA did not meet this week because of spring break. So I know we might have limited. Okay, I'm not seeing anything. So we'll go ahead and just jump on into open discussion. If anyone has anything they'd like to discuss, please feel free to raise your hand. Okay. Oh, hi, Allison. Thank you. We're so happy to have you assume that role. Wendy, go ahead.
Okay, so Jessica and I are chatting behind the scenes. She did just inform me that since we are still holding an election with a ballot, that we will still announce the results on April 16th. I will reach out to the uncontested, to the candidates, to welcome them and let them know that the election is basically just a formality. But yeah, if you want, I did put a link in the chat. You can see who the candidates are and that they're uncontested and they'll be joining us.
Excellent. Thanks, Wendy. That's exciting. And I know for our employee elector trustee, I believe it's just Hey Hey, if I'm correct. So
you are correct. That one is uncontested as well.
Excellent. Thanks for confirming that. Wendy.
So along those lines, you might get questions, comments. Why am I getting a ballot if there's nothing to vote for? Just you can explain. We did decide as an elections committee and that was brought forth to the entire assembly that even with uncontested races, we were still going to put the candidates on the ballot so that the constituent group would know who their representative is. And again, with the elected trustee, the employee elected trustee, with Hey Hey, with that being an uncontested race, he will be on there as well. But there won't, there's no one to vote against or anything like that, but people will, the voting will still happen as planned.
Great. Excellent. Okay. Anyone have anything else? So I will go ahead and I'll provide the just a quick little survey just to kind of nail down some dates and locations for an in-person gathering. I'm really looking forward to it. I wasn't able to attend last year. So anyway, okay, well, I don't see anything else. With that, I welcome a motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
Second.
Motion to adjourn.
And I second.
Great. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a good rest of your week. Bye-bye.
Bye.